Well, hello. It's good to see you once again. And it's been a blessing. You folks have been gracious to me. I appreciate the fellowship that you give because I'm just everything that you see alone. And so I appreciate just being able to share your goodness and compassion and just doing your best to make me feel at home, away from home. And that means a lot. It really does. One of these days, we'll get to fellowship all the time. And in our new bodies. Yes. How many of you are anxious for your new body? I knew I'd get some amens there for sure. Absolutely. No more pain, no more suffering. Wow, what a blessing that will be when we get to see our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Your preacher said this was the celebration of 40 years here in this place. And you are a testimony to that fact. And I appreciate the opportunity just to be able to stand here in this very special and honored position, an honored place. There's a lot of history here. Those of you who have been born up and through this ministry, physically as well as spiritually. And wow, I appreciate your faithfulness. And but I would suppose that everybody that has been saved through this ministry, if they were all here, you'd have to have a bigger building. Over the years, how things happen, time passes, things take place in our life. After all, we are Open Door Baptist Church. Really, that's a big deal. That's huge, and I would like to just get to the task here, and you'll want to be here tonight. I'll share a little bit more of the lighter side, but if you would, as we look here to the Word of God, I'll take you to the book of Matthew, chapter 16, if you would play, if you would please, as we look to the Word of God. And so once you've found your place, I'm going to note something very special, and that's the Holy Word of God. Speaking to our hearts, Jesus is talking to Simon bar Jonah. This is Peter. And so in verse 18, he said, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time, this moment and opportunity that you've given to us. As we stand here and we open your word, awesome, powerful, breathtaking, here we stand in the midst of your people. And I ask, Lord, that you would, through these lips of clay, that you would just magnify yourself and show us clearly and plainly who it is you are so needful to our hearts, what it is we need to live these remaining days of our life here on planet Earth. Would you bless now in the giving of your word and in the receiving of it, for it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's amazing how a whole institution can be built on this one verse through false interpretation. Amazing, is it not? And yet, who did Jesus build the church upon? Himself. He is the rock. He is the foundation. And as He talked to Peter, He spoke to Peter concerning Himself. And that is who He is and what He has done. This is the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? This is who we are. That is a big deal in heaven. That is huge in heaven. And I get the idea that since God leaves His Word and His Spirit here, that we need to make it as big here on planet Earth as it is in heaven. We need to work on that. We need to work on that. I mean, here we are. We are the Sunday morning crowd. That's us. Preacher, we show up on Sunday morning. That's us. We are the Sunday morning crowd. Now, tonight is Sunday night. Sunday night is not Sunday morning. I want you to know that, preacher. Therefore, some of us will not be here, for we are the Sunday morning crowd. That's us. So don't be looking for us tonight. We won't be here. So I would ask you, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you die that you'd go to heaven? Are you saved? Do you belong to Jesus? Are you His? Do you love Him, honor Him, and serve Him with all of your heart? Are you what He requires of us? This incredible thing called faithful. Faithful. Are you faithful? I would ask this question once again, as I've asked it before. Are you in love with Jesus Christ? Are you in love with God? Are you in love what He loves? Do you love the church? Do you love Open Door Baptist Church? It's been here a long time. But no matter, long or no, this is the church that Jesus built. For He is indeed the head of the church. Now I want you to understand that the devil acknowledges that this is the church of Jesus Christ. The devil recognizes this as the church that Jesus built. And if he recognizes it as such, then don't you think we should? If he puts such a tremendous effort to fight against the church, to put huge attacks and create such upheaval and stirring all through these years, then don't you think that we who name the name of Jesus Christ, that we who say, I am saved, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I were to die, I'd go to heaven because, get this now, Jesus is right inside here. I belong to Him. I'm going to heaven one of these days. Yeah, but you won't go to church on Sunday night. Will we follow Him whithersoever He goes? Do you really love the Lord? Do you love His church? Do you love your church? I think it's amazing. Some people call this the church and they're not even a member. Go figure. Do you belong to Him and does He belong to you? Is He in your heart? Is He in your soul and spirit? As I think about Pastor Springer, he's here all the time. We never need to know where he's at on Sunday night. We know. We never need to know where he's on Wednesday night. We just know where Pastor Springer's at. We just know it. How many of you could be said about that in your life, your heart, and your soul? Again, do you belong to Jesus? Now, I'm going to take you over here to a verse we already saw before, but we have to go here again just to be reminded. And that's, again, John chapter 1. Look with me to verse 12. John 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, here it says, we're going to look at verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them... Now, hey, is that you? Did you receive Him? So are you saved? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you die that you'd go to heaven? Do you know that you can't get to heaven just by being a church member? I want you to know, preacher, I am a member of Open Door Baptist Church, so therefore I am going to heaven. Well, I hope you're not resting on that, because church membership isn't it. That's not where that comes from. You have to be saved, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, knowing Him as your Lord and Savior. He's inside you, cleansed you of your sin, then you're saved. But church membership is not it. I want you to know that there are people who are burning in hell today who used to sit in Baptist churches just like ours that never did really ever get saved. I mean, that's huge and monstrous. Our country's in trouble. And it's that way because the church is in trouble. And here's the Lord making things absolutely, incredibly clear. He said, but as many as received Him, are you saved? You know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you die that you'd go to heaven? If you can say that, then the next part of the verse applies to you. Here it comes. He says, to them gave He, what? What's the next word? Power. Okay? That's what we like, isn't it? Power. Amen. I like power. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like power. Power. What's He given me power now for? He's given me to become what? The sons of God. Does that verse say that if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you die that you'd go to heaven? Does that verse say that you are a son of God? Amen? Well, what does a son of God do? I mean, think about it. Again, I revert back to this fact. We need to talk to ourselves. We need to tell us. We need to remind ourselves, I am a son of God. I am a son of God. Tell yourself that on Sunday night, just before church services. I am a son of God. I am a son of God. Well, where would a son of God be found on a Sunday night? If he can be there, if he's not at work, or if he's not laid up sick somewhere, where should he be? Yeah. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that my part? He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. He said, and I know them, and they follow me. Here's the news. The bulletin is out. Jesus is coming to church tonight. And if He's your shepherd and you're following Him, we'll see you tonight. If you take it literally for what the Word of God says. Literally. Point blank. Now, this is what the Holy Spirit does. He faces you with all the truth that's within Scripture. He faces you and He shows you. When you say one thing and you need to stand behind it, that means that you need to follow through with everything. So if you belong to God, then you need to do the things that God calls you to do. That as a child of God, as a son of God, you're going to do His will. How many of you feel like a son of God? Well, you know, preacher, not today. You don't know what's going on this week. All these hard things befall me, and somehow or other I don't feel like a son of God. Do you still say that you're saved? Well, yes. Well, you're still a son of God. That doesn't change. Did you get that? That doesn't change. So, as a child of God, look, here are things that happen to us when we get saved. And we need to live this life. What about this? Galatians. Look here. Chapter 2. As we turn to the book of Galatians, it's in your Bible just like it's in mine. And in the book of Galatians, you're going to notice this with me, please. As we look at verse 20, Galatians 2, and we've even sung this. Some of you have got it memorized. I am crucified with Christ. Should that be all of our testimony if we're saved tonight or this morning? Yeah, that ought to be our testimony, right? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what that verse says. Are you saved? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you die that you'd go to heaven? Hey, I am crucified with Christ, which means to say, he says, now that I'm saved, I live by faith. I live by faith. I live by faith. I live by faith. How many of you live by faith? How many of you love by faith? Loving one another is so critical. It's so huge. And this is a command. This is a directive from God Himself. So therefore we are crucified with Christ. Having said that, look at Colossians, if you'll turn with me. Just a few books to the right here. Colossians chapter 3. Now that you're saved, now that you belong to God, now that you're a son of God, look here in verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. If you then be risen with Christ, if we are crucified with Christ, now we're risen with Christ, we now live a resurrected life that's a life free from the death of sin that keeps people from living a risen life. I understand, we have obstacles. Obstacle number one, your flesh. I guess we don't really need to get past that one. I mean, the fact of the matter is, there are other obstacles out there. But if we could just get victory over the flesh, wow, that would be humongous in our heart, life, and soul. Preacher, do you know how much work it took me to get here to church? It took me all week long. Wow. Wouldn't it be neat if everybody here who names the name of Christ and everybody here who is a member of this church would show up to every service through every week? One preacher one time made an announcement to his church. He said, folks, how many of you would be willing to stay up 1 hour with one that's sick in our church? Just 1 hour is all I ask. Just 1 hour. How many of you be willing to stand up and just be with this one who's sick for 1 hour this week? So he got a response and he said, well, I want you to know our Wednesday night prayer meeting is sick. And we need folks to come and be with us for 1 hour. 1 hour. It's really what it is. Is this the church of Jesus Christ? Is this the greatest power on earth, where the power of God resides, where the people of God meet? I mean, this community needs to know we are alive and well on planet earth. They need to know that the power of God resides right here in the midst of His people. Isn't that the case? When Jesus comes into your heart, is not He and His power within as well? Well, preacher, you're sure making a big deal out of this. That's what I get when I read the Word of God. It's a big deal in here. Somehow it wasn't meant just to stay inside the pages of Scripture. It was to come out so that people could see that God is a liberating God who sets the man in sin free. It's us, the church. If there's ever a day when we need to live for God, the glory of God, live a holy life unto God through His power and strength, it's today. It's here. It's now. We can talk all we want to talk. Talk is cheap. Talk is easy. But to actually put to work the very things that come from our lips that we speak concerning the Word of God, that's what matters most. That's what matters most. Hey, you can come and you can sit in your church pew and bless the Lord. You look good sitting in the house of God. I'm glad you're here. You are an inspiration to me. You are a blessing to me. Not too long ago, just a week ago, I preached a revival meeting, and all that showed up was the pastor, his wife, and one other person. Kind of a challenge to get fired up to preach to three people. But I'm telling you, the devil is fighting his warfare effectively in so many different places. We could be like that church. I know it's a small town and so forth and so on, but hey, there was another church not long ago, just prior to that, there were 10 people in attendance all week long. All week long. Well, they need as much preaching as anybody does. And so that's why I appreciate churches like you that support me so that I can afford to go to those places. To be a blessing, to be an encouragement. They need it as well. They're out there in the sticks. They're out there in the bramble bushes. I mean, they're out there under the trees, if you will, trying to reach people for the glory of God. Why? Because they are a church of Jesus Christ like you are. There's a work to be done. We're not in heaven yet. I can see you here. What are we doing till we go home to be with the Lord? Is there a work for you to be done? Does God really want you to labor for Him? Are we living a resurrected life? Or are we just saying, yeah, I'm saved, yeah, I'm saved. I'm not making any big deal out of it, though. I'm going to heaven, yeah, I sure am. But you won't find any evidence of a godly life in my life. Because, you know, I just don't take the Word of God too seriously. Not too. But don't you see? God takes His Word seriously. Do you realize how many fires this Bible has come through to exist in the lap that you have today? I mean, do you realize the opposition and the persecution this Bible has faced? And here it is, you have it today. I'm telling you, this book, this Bible is a miracle. Back in the 1500s, the nation of France, they made an all-out effort to destroy the Bible from the land. They confiscated Bibles out of homes. They shut down churches. They piled Bibles high and burned them. to eradicate the Bible from the land. And I'm telling you, the message of Jesus Christ is still in France today. God's presence will be known, will be felt, will be experienced in every sector of this globe. He said, everybody, no one will be without excuse. Everyone has the opportunity to be saved. Everyone. How many of you are living for the glory of God, loving and honoring Jesus Christ today? So much so that other people can see it, living it openly. Somebody can look at you and say, hey, there goes a Christian. There goes a child of God. I can tell. Watch how they walk. Look how they dress. Listen to what they say. Powerful testimony. One dear lady, after a revival meeting, and I preached one night and sharing with the fact that, you know, so many of us are afraid of the people around us, the wicked, the heathen, if you will. And I shared where the Word of God literally says that they are afraid of us. And she said, you know, I went to work and I put that to practice. I emailed all of my fellow employees in this big office that we have, and I said, please don't swear in my presence anymore. She was fed up with this vulgar language. One woman got mad at her, but the rest of them didn't swear in her presence. Why? Because somebody decided to stand up and say, I love God, please respect that. Somehow these people out there living in this heathen land, they need to know that Open Door Baptist Church lives a godly life. We're not just members of the church, but we want to live a godly life before our community. We have a message to send. We don't play church here. We don't play church. We're for real. We're the real thing. Touch me and feel me. Pinch me. I'm a born-again child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm real. So many of us live below the radar. We're so quiet. You can't hear us. And we blend in with the scenery. We look like just like the rest of the world out there. You just can't see us. We are camouflage Christians. Yeah. We're out there. You just can't see us. Well, preacher, I'm shy, and I'm bashful, and I'm an introvert, and I don't do good with people. You know, the devil's put one on that one like you before. I'm telling you, I'm shy, and I'm bashful. Right. Hey, I avoided every speech class there was when I was growing up. I was petrified. Well, there was a time I had to stand up and give a Bible story before the school. I stood there and I froze stiff, didn't move a lip. And when my time was done, the teacher said, sit down. I went to stand before the Lord called me to Bible college. Well, I didn't figure out why. So I just went, and I went to practice preaching class. We had about 50 students in there, and they all had paper and pencils. And they're all writing stuff down every time you stand up and speak. And I just knew it was none of it's ever any good. You sit down, they're going to tear you apart. So I sat down after mine. The instructor did something I never saw before, and he told me, stand up. is not looking good. I stood up. And he said, I want you to shout this word. And so I shouted it out as best as I could. And he said, no, shout it out. And I gave it another shot. He said, no, shout it out. 3 times. And he said, sit down. I don't think I scored too well. But God made me who it is I am today. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. I'm for real. You can pinch me. So can you. You can be a miracle. You can be used of God to do things you didn't think could possibly be done. Aren't you tired of this hit and miss kind of life and living? Why not be somebody? I was in the preacher's class this morning talking about the Lord coming. The rumblings are around. Hey, if there are rumblings around, don't you think we ought to get going? We ought to get and just do everything we can to live for God because Jesus is coming. Amen? If we really believed it, we would do something about it. If we really believed it. For we are Open Door Baptist Church. We are a force to be reckoned with. Why? Because we have the power of God. Amen? We have the power of God. That's huge. That's massive. That's big. If only we'd live it. If only we'd put it to practice. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Would your life verify to the people out there around us that Jesus loves you? For this I know, the Bible tells me so. I say to you, Open Door Baptist Church, and those of you who say that you're a member here, and if you're not a member and you just keep coming back, could I invite you to join this wonderful church that you just love to be a part of? Why wouldn't you want to join what Jesus started? Hey, that would be absolutely a wonderful thing. Be committed. Was He committed to you? Was He committed to the idea and the concept that He was going to die on the cross for your sins no matter what? Wouldn't it be nice if you were committed to do everything that the Lord wanted you to do in the Word of God? To live? You say, well, preacher, that's a tough book to live. Yeah, that's why the Lord provided the strength through Him that you could live it. You can't lose. You can't lose if you do it His way. Who knows? Maybe we'll be here another 40 years. But wouldn't it be nice if we were twice the size 40 years from now? Because we stayed the course, stayed by the stuff, remained faithful to Him and to His call. Wouldn't it be great? So I ask you tonight, or this morning. See, I'm used to being in church all hours. And therefore, what are you going to do about the fact that Jesus died for you and that He called you into full-time service? He never did ask you if you were qualified. You know, some of you think, well, I don't think I'm qualified to do the will of God. Now, where'd you get that idea? You got a book, chapter, and verse for that? I think you'll find that if you search the Scriptures, He said, you're called. You need to get involved. And if some of you are here today and you say, preacher, I'm not as involved as I ought to be. Here's the Open Door opportunity. I love that name, Open Door. Wow. An open door of invitation. Come. Take advantage of it. Make the most of it. You say, preacher, you're making this sound awful simple. It's what the Word of God is. Simple. God gives you the power, gives you the joy and the opportunity. Just take advantage of it. And if you're sitting here today and you've been a church member and you don't know for sure if you die that you'd go to heaven, you can get saved right now, today. Yeah, but preacher, if I came out there to get saved, people are going to talk. I thought they were saved. I have a card in my pocket that was given to me by a young man who is a detective of a police department. This young man thinks a lot of this particular evangelist because I was preaching at his church not too long ago. He was a fine young fellow. He was dressed nice, looked sharp. And he came forward into one service and he got saved. Why, he was a graduate of a Bible college. He was the son of the head deacon in the church. He had grown up in the Christian home. And he came forward and he got saved. He got saved. That means that Bible college graduates can get saved too. And then a few years prior to that, a head deacon came forward and got saved in the church that I was preaching at. You know, that means that deacons can get saved too if they're lost. Don't you think it'd be better to be saved than to wonder if you are or not? Am I? Some of you got this with flower petals. Am I or am I not? Am I or am I not? So I invite you to take this invitation that God, if you're not saved, get saved. And if you're not involved in your church, get involved. If you're not a member of your church, get to be a member. Just come. I mean, it's an invitation that extended to you from Jesus Himself. It's all over Scripture. It's just that Pastor Springer is being obedient to the Scriptures, to the Word of God. Won't you be obedient with Him? And together, work for the glory of God. Shall we bow our heads? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed, no one's looking around. And I would ask you this question here tonight, or this morning. I'll get to get off that tonight thing. This morning, God really wants to do something special. God wants to direct in your life. He wants to just simply do something big enough for you to remember. Big enough for your neighbors to remember, because they're going to see it. They're going to see it. Why not allow this moment to create and cause you to make a decision that will affect you in such a positive way for the rest of your life? How many of you say, preacher, I know that I, according to the Scriptures, am a son of God. Would you raise your hand? You know that you're saved. Hold your hands high. Please don't put them down. Please keep them there. Please, 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 don't put them down yet. Please keep them there. Yes, 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 I see those hands. Amen and amen. You may put them down. How many of you say, preacher, I don't know for sure if I die that I'd go to heaven. I want to get peace about that. I want to get that settled in my heart. I don't want to live another day wondering, am I saved or am I not? Is there anyone like that? You'd raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. God spoke to my heart. I don't know for sure if I'd die that I'd go to heaven. Is there anyone like that? You'd raise your hand high enough for me to see it. Preacher, would you pray for me? Anyone at all? Anyone at all? Preacher, pray. Yes, I see your hand. Is there someone else? God spoke to my heart. Is there someone else? Preacher, would you pray for me? God spoke to me. I need to do something about what I've heard. Would you pray for me? Is there yet another? Is there yet someone else? Someone else. Who then here would say, preacher, I just a moment ago raised my hand, said that I'm a born-again child of God. I know that I'm saved. But yet the Lord spoke to my heart about commitment, about putting myself to the task, about being involved, about living the life that He would be pleased with. And I know that I have some work to do in my life. And preacher, I'd like you to join me in praying for that very thing in my life. Anyone like that should raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. Yes, I see your hand and I see yours and yours and yours. And yes, I see yours and yours too. And are there others? Preacher, yes, I see your hand. And is there someone else? Preacher, pray for me. God spoke to my heart. You may put your hands down. Are there others? God spoke to me. Is there yet another? He spoke, "Yes, I see your hand. Who else, preacher? Pray for me. Yes, I see your hand as well. And who else, preacher, would you pray for me? God spoke to my heart. I can't be just like I am now. I've got to be more involved. I know that God's not happy with my involvement, and I need to change that." Who else should raise your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. God has spoken to my heart. I need prayer." Is there yet another? Is there one more before I pray? Raise it nice and high so I can see it. Who else? Thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given. I ask, Lord, that you would be with those who are wondering, those who are in confusion. One asked for prayer that they'd settle the issue with you, Lord. Are they saved? Are they not? Oh, God of heaven, give peace. Give strength. Give wisdom, Lord. Give them all that they know that they need to know to rest upon your word. I ask, Lord, that you would be with those who said, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not what I ought to be. And I've got to take some drastic steps to be everything you want me to be according to your word." I ask that you would move in every single heart, every soul and spirit here. This day, I pray, bring victory and then help us to glorify your name because of it all. For it is in Jesus' name I pray and for his sake. Amen.